When I think of waiting on the Lord, I typically think of it in terms of time. How long, Lord? You've given me a promise. When is this going to happen? I read what your scripture says. When is this going to happen? Lord, when am I going to get this thing that I need? Lord, when am I going to be done with this trial that I'm in? We pray and we pray. Okay, Lord, I'm going to be content. I'm just going to wait. And then 5 minutes later, Lord, when's this going to be done? I mean, it's what we do. It's our human nature. And we get so wrapped up in the time of things, the timing of everything, and certainly the timing of it plays a part in it. We have to deal with time. We live in this world. Time rules over everything. I hate it. Time marches on. I hate it. I wish I could just, there's days where it's like, stop. Stop time so I can get more done. Or time where it's like, oh, is this ever going to end? Can we get through this day? Right? I mean, it affects us in so many ways. It rules over us in so many ways. But the thing is, God doesn't deal in time. He doesn't live in time. He's not constrained by time. He created time. He lives outside of time. He sees the full picture. All we can see is what's right in front of us. And the reality is, we have a hard time even seeing that. But God sees the whole thing from the beginning to the end. He created it. He created this construct for us to live within and deal with. And yes, we have to deal with time. We're constrained by it, but God is not. We serve a God who lives outside of time. And he is sovereign, and he knows what is needed, and he knows when the perfect timing is because he sees the whole picture. But it's hard for us to wrap our brains around that, to really understand that. And so what happens is when we talk about waiting on the Lord, we think, okay, how long is this going to be? How many years am I going to have to put up with this? I'm sure Job is thinking as he's sitting there in his rags and ashes, healing, thinking, Lord, how long is this going to go on? But God had a purpose. God deals with purpose. He doesn't deal with time. He works with it because it's here, but that is not his purpose. His purpose is to affect something in you. His purpose is to deal with the larger picture. Whereas all we can see is the minute little sliver of thing that's in front of us. We're so myopic at times. We can barely see past the tip of our nose. But the Lord sees it all. And we serve that God. We can learn to trust in that God and believe that God. But yet, we're so caught up in our heads. We're so caught up in our minds and what I'm dealing with now. And I get it. It's hard. Believe me. I know it's hard. Psalm 69:3 says, I am weary with my crying. My throat is dry. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. Who's been there? Who can say, I've been there? Or maybe I am there where I'm waiting and I'm crying out, God, when? When will you bring this about? God, when will this end? When will this trial end? When will the one I love and I've been praying for be saved? When will my child finally get it and see it? When am I going to get that job that I need? When am I going to be healed of this sickness that I have? When, Lord? We cry out, we seek him. But the Lord wants us to know there's more to it than just waiting on the timing of the thing and even getting the thing. So one of the definitions, as we look at this word wait, it means to wait, look for, hope, or expect. Certainly it is all those things, but it is more. A second definition for this is to collect or bind together. The Strong says to bind together, perhaps by twisting. So, to wait on the Lord is more than to deal with the timing of the thing, but it is to bind yourself to the Lord. To bind yourself to God. Think of binding, where you take something, if you're going to bind something to it, you're going to put it up against it, and you're going to wrap cords around it, and you're going to tie it off, and you're going to tie it strong so it can't move. It can't be removed. It can't fall off. It can't remove itself. If we're going to bind ourselves to the Lord, And this is the thing that I really want us to look closely at, is this idea of binding to our Lord. There's a number of things that are going to happen or that must happen. One of the things is we need to learn to be content in all things. Because where does our contentment come from? Does it come from the things, or does it come from Christ? My contentment is in Christ. It's not what I have. It's not in the timing of the thing, but it's Christ alone. So it shouldn't really matter, as we put that together, it shouldn't matter then whether I have or don't have. It shouldn't matter if it's going to be 5 minutes or 5 years or 50 years. It's, I have Christ, and I'm content with where I'm at in Christ. I'm content where He has me at the moment. I'm content because He is there with me, and I am bound to Him. And where He goes, where He moves, or where He doesn't move, I'm okay because I am with Him. I heard something on the radio yesterday that really irritated me. I was listening to, I still want to call it The Fish, K-Love. It was The Fish years ago when it started in Milwaukee, but K-Love. And somebody alluded to the fact that they're talking about doing things for the Lord, and said, well, the frustrating thing about, you know, being where the Lord's will is He never stops moving. I thought, no, that's not right. I mean, I guess I can get the concept that He's always working, but He does stop moving at times. He comes to a rest. Now, we're talking about on an individual level. If you were bound to the Lord, there are going to be times where He's quiet. There are going to be times where He's not actively doing this, that, and the other thing. He wants you to wait. He wants you to rest. He wants you to get in Him and get with Him and be at peace with Him. But we are a people, we are Americans, and we're proud of that, right? We get things done. We accomplish things. Sadly, a lot of people don't want to get things done anymore, but we have that drive, that work ethic. We're so proud of it. I'm a self-made man. I've done this. I've done the other thing. Look at what I've accomplished. That is what drives so many of us, to work hard. And in its right place, that's a good thing. But we need to be willing to come to a rest. We need to be willing to stop, wait. But again, not just in the sense of time where, okay, I'm going to take a day off and rest, but to come to a place spiritually in Christ where we're willing to wait upon Him, to bind ourselves to Him, to just be. Just be with Him. Philippians 4, verse 11 through 13, we see Paul talking about this contentment. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It is incredibly important that you read verse 13 with that. Paul is not saying, I've disciplined myself so much that I can be okay with having nothing. There are many people in this life who will tell you it's all about stripping everything away and having nothing, and you can't have this and the other thing. It's, it all becomes about their self-discipline and what they can do or what they won't do. That's not what Paul is saying here. Paul isn't saying, I've learned to be content with having riches, and I've also learned how to be content with having nothing. What Paul is saying here is, I am content with Christ. Therefore, if I have the riches or I have nothing, it does not matter. Circumstances do not matter. It's all circumstantial and it doesn't matter. He has learned to be content with Christ alone. So, bring what you want. I don't care. I mean, certainly I'd like to have a nice place to live, and I mean, who doesn't want the comfort? But you know what? Give me Christ and I'm good, because He'll take care of me. He'll provide everything I need. Paul learned to be content in all things because his contentment was in Christ. Paul was bound to Christ. Therefore, he could confidently state, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not to just, again, just give mental assent. Yes, Lord, You'll provide for me, so I believe that. So, okay, let's see how this goes. It's, Lord, I'm walking with You. I'm talking with you. I have a relationship with you. My faith is building and it's growing because I've seen you act here. I've seen you do this. There's a testimony that's been built and that is being constructed within us. And we're learning. We're learning to walk with Him. We're learning to trust in Him. Amen. Our belief is growing. Yes. He provided here. I don't have to worry about this because I saw Him do it here. Yes. I see the testimony in you and how the Lord's provided for you. Lord, I believe. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to know you. This is not knowing about God. This is knowing Him. Knowing His character. Knowing that He is a good Father. We sang that song this morning, that Good, Good Father song. I got to be honest with you. I used to hate that song. Seriously, I'm going to just be honest with you. I hate singing about myself. Like, it's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. But, you know, I realized He is a good Father. And He does love me. And I've learned to love that song. I suppose a lot of these songs could be taken the wrong way with people. But you know what? I'm singing it unto the Lord. And I know what He's showing me. I know how He's dealing with me. And He is a good Father. He is a loving Father. Those of you who maybe didn't have a father or a good father, let me tell you, let me encourage you. Our God loves us so much. He is a fearful God. He is to be feared and revered. But for those children of God who love Him and serve Him, He is a good and loving Father. And for those of you who have a good father, a loving father, well, take that and magnify it a million times. He loves us so much more than we could ever love one another. And I am so thankful for that loving Father. One of the hard parts of waiting on the Lord, we all have ideas, things that we maybe think we ought to do or should do. We pray about these things. We bring them to the Lord. You know, maybe there's certain desires we have, certain things we would like that we're asking the Lord for. Maybe you need to make a decision in your family. Lord, like, this thing's presenting itself to us. We have to decide one way or the other. What are we going to do? Maybe you're seeking the Lord for ministry. Lord, what do I do? What's the next step? How do I proceed? And you're going to have those times, like I said earlier, where the Lord's quiet. And maybe He's not speaking so clearly on something that you're praying about and you're waiting for. Or that decision that you have to make. Maybe it's a big monetary decision. Lord, what do I do? What's the right decision to make here? Along with being content in the Lord, what comes along with that, and knowing that it's in His hands and being content with Him, is a willingness to not do anything sometimes. If you're not clear, do nothing. Just wait. And let me tell you, doing nothing in that instance is actually very much doing something. It is seeking the Lord. It is continuing to just ask Him and then say, look, Lord, I'm not going to act. I'm not going to move. I'm not going to make a choice. I'm not going to make a decision. Now, so often, we like to get ourselves all worked up like, oh, I got to decide this right now. I got to fix this right now. I better do something about this right now. When what the Lord wants us to do is to just, son, daughter, settle down. Just wait. Rest in me. Be at peace in me. You don't need what you think you do right now any more than what you really need is to just rest in me and let me act. Let me move. Come to rest in the Lord. Find that peace. Find that rest in Him. This again is that binding yourself to Him. And while you're binding yourself to Him, while you are resting in Him and waiting upon Him, while you're waiting for the answer, the direction, continue to search God's Word. Seek Him out. Learn of Him. All the promises you know that are true, continue to just like rope, tying it around yourself. Bind yourself. Joe, you made that example weeks ago when we talked about this. And I'm telling you, I feel like, Lord, why did I not see this years ago? It was like a brick against the head. Like, get it. This is amazing. It was like being slapped awake. Like, this is so important to us that we understand this, that we don't always have to be doing. We don't have to always be making something happen, but to learn to just come to a rest in the Lord and continue to just bind His promises around us, tying us tighter and tighter to Him. And when we're willing to do nothing and be at rest, we will learn to be content all the more in Christ.
Amen.
Think of, this is another example. Joe said it, and I really enjoyed it. The idea of an elephant, okay? A very large elephant. He said this, and I had to laugh, but it's so true. When we bind ourselves to the Lord, and we're going to wait upon Him, we're going to let Him act. We're going to let Him move. Let Him direct. And when He moves, then I'll move if I'm bound to Him. Think of yourself as tying yourself to the leg of an elephant. Guess what? If that thing moves, you're going with it. If it stops, you're stopping. As long as you stay tied to it and bound to it. There's no stopping it. The only way you could stop it then would be to untie yourself and get away from it. And that's important for you to recognize. I am not saying here that we have no part to play in this. I am not saying that, okay, I'm just going to sit here, God, You do it all, and He's just going to make me do it. There is obedience, and the obedience is for me to stay bound to Christ. That is my role. Stay bound to Christ. And then every good thing will flow from that. Every action, every deed, every word, every decision, all strength, all power, all wisdom will flow from that. We want to think of it this way. Lord, I need wisdom to make a decision. Okay, You give me wisdom, now I'm going to go do something with it. No. The Lord moves, and I stay with Him. I draw upon His strength. I draw upon His wisdom because I'm bound to Him. And when He moves, I go with Him. It's not, oh, Lord, give it to me, now I'm going to go do something with it. Certainly, there is the practical aspect of, I've heard from the Lord, and now I'm going to go do whatever it is. But it's because He's moving in that direction, and you're going with Him. Think of the young son who follows his father around, his daddy that he's so proud of, and he looks up to, and really, from a six-year-old boy's point of view, he may just look up to him and idolize his dad. His dad can do no wrong. His dad can beat up your dad. And his dad is the best, right? He follows him everywhere to the workshop. He wants to, what are you doing? I want to learn that. Working on the car, underneath it. How does this work? Show me how this works. Always with him. Always looking up to him. Whatever his dad does, that's perfect in his eyes. That's the right thing in his eyes. That is what we are to be. That young child. Are we not told to have faith as a child? To have that childlike faith and to go to the Lord, I don't know how, I mean, what you're doing right now doesn't seem to make any sense to me, but You're God, I'm not, I believe You, I trust You. Imagine a six-year-old's point of view. I don't know how you're doing that, Dad, but that's pretty amazing. I just know You can do it. It's what we need to have with the Lord. I just know You're going to do it. I just know. I believe. One of the examples I thought of, now going back to this word, wait, it says, to bind together, perhaps by a twisting. Think of anybody who's ever done electrical work. How do you, when you install a light switch or an outlet, some type of receptacle, or maybe you're putting up some lights, there comes a point where a connection must be made. And it's not just two wires touching. They have to be twisted together. They have to be bound together. What happens if you don't properly twist them, Nathan? They come apart, you start having electrical issues. It's not going to work. They must be twisted together. This twisting binds them together so that the power source can then transfer into the thing that needs to be used, the receptacle. As long as they stay connected, The power will transfer from the power source into the outlet. If that becomes untwisted and comes apart, that outlet is no longer effective. It is no longer any good. It can sit there and look nice on the wall. We've got an outlet in our house that I still can't figure out where this thing leads to. It has no power to it. It would be nice to be able to use it. It looks nice in the kitchen, but it's worthless. It doesn't go into anything. What good is it? What value is it? We're told to have salt within ourselves, and if the salt loses its saltiness, what value is it? It's thrown out in the streets for men to trample on. We must stay bound to Christ. We must be bound to Him so that all power, all authority, all wisdom will transfer from that source of power into and out of and through us. So that we can actually be useful in this life, in this church. We come up with all kinds of things that we can do. We can do a lot and that looks good, right? All kinds of bluster, whole bunch of hoopla. You know, we can have our programs. We can do our outreaches. We can, there's so many examples of things we can do from grand scale to the smallest. But if it's in our own strength, if it's in our own fleshly ability, our own man's wisdom, it amounts to nothing. It must have the life of Christ in it. It must have the power of God in it. Otherwise, it's just not going to accomplish anything more than maybe we can pat each other on the back and say, good job. Formulas, strategies, and all sorts of fleshly wisdom based on something that seemingly worked before, rather than a constant connection to the one who supplies all power and wisdom and direction. Or how about this? The Lord used something at some point, and now we all look at it and say, well, there you go. That's the formula. Let's copy it. Let's mass produce it. We'll stamp our approval on it. We'll just put it out there for everybody to do, and it's completely lifeless. Because the Lord moved then, and He used that then. That doesn't mean it's going to be now. The point isn't to see a pattern and then copy the pattern. The point is to join yourself to the one who will give the pattern for the moment, if you will. It's to join yourself to that one and then keep seeking Him and looking to Him. Amen. And being in communion with Him, to know Him, not to know about Him, to know Him. And then every instance that you have, every opportunity you have to preach, to share your testimony, to teach your children, to interact with the fellowship, to go to work, the Lord will direct that. He'll give you the words to say, the actions to take. Zechariah 4:6 reads, "So he answered and said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts.'" Just accept the fact that there's nothing you can do that will amount to anything with any value spiritually if you do it in your own flesh and with your own mind. And we can do a lot of good things, a lot of holy things, a lot of spiritual looking things that are nothing more than acts of the flesh. Whether it's because it's a thought I had, or because somebody else did it who was anointed, that it looks good, so I'm going to copy it. It's just not going to work. You might get applause from men, but what good is that? I'm not interested. I want my approval to come from my Heavenly Father. Think of Philip when he met the Ethiopian eunuch on the road. And he preached the gospel to him. What happened after he baptized him? The Spirit came, picked him up, and carried him off. Philip was bound to God, and therefore he was carried by God. He wasn't going to sit there and linger any moment longer than he needed to, than he was supposed to. He could have sat there. He could have built a church and said, now this is the first church of baptizing people on the side of the road. He didn't make a pattern out of it. It didn't become a methodology. If there was any method, it was to just hear from the Lord. It was to stop when God said stop. It was to speak when God says speak. And then it was get up and fly away when I say to go, and I'll carry you there. Think of a braided or twisted rope. I was telling Jeremy yesterday, I said, you know, when I'm preparing a sermon or a teaching, I oftentimes find myself reading about very strange things because the Lord will show me something and I'll start to read about it just to study it out a little bit. So I was reading about rope the other day. So you look at rope, it's twisted or it's braided. And there's a reason for that. The tensile strength of rope is increased when it's been braided or it's been twisted together. I want to focus more on the twisted rope. I'm going to read this. I found this. Rope is made of strands of material, like wire or fabric, that are each individually twisted in one direction and then twisted or braided together in the opposite direction. So each one of those strands that you see is twisted this way, and then those groups of strands are put together and twisted the other way. Materials which are actually quite weak on their own can be manipulated to be quite strong. In order to guarantee that the rope does not unwind, one must twist the individual strands of material to their maximum. This they call the zero twist point. Now, that might all seem kind of weird, but let me expound on this. They're being twisted, okay? As we're being bound to the Lord, we're not just attached to Him. We're not even just wrapping ropes around us. We're actually being twisted into Him, becoming one with Him. Look at this motion of twisting. Does it look comfortable? Is there anything comfortable about twisting? Imagine yourself as one of the strands of that rope being twisted and being stretched. It's a painful process. Salvation is only the beginning of the binding and twisting together. But this twisting goes on. And the more that something is twisted together, the more difficult it becomes to unwind. They have to twist that rope to that maximum point where it won't unwind. It must stay wound. Otherwise, that rope is worthless and it can't be used for its intended purpose. It's an interesting thing. They actually have a term for it called the zero twist point. So what am I getting at? The Lord is going to work in you as you are willing to be bound into Him. He is going to twist you. He is going to work you. It is going to hurt at times. It will be painful, whether it is physical pain or it is spiritual, mental, emotional, whatever it is. And the Lord doesn't do this just because He's some cruel God that wants to put us through the paces. It's for our good. It's for our benefit. It is so that we can be stronger. The Lord, again, going back to the fact that He is a good Father, a loving Father, He knows exactly what you need. He knows exactly how much you can take. And you know what? Oftentimes He will take you right up to that breaking point. But He knows just where to stop. He knows just what is needed, and He won't go beyond that. And now, we know that we want to be broken. When I say that breaking point, I'm talking about take you to that point of being crushed by Him where you're no good. He's taking you up to that point where you be the strongest in Him. Now, think of, have you ever picked up a rope that's just lying in a mess or maybe an extension cord? And it's all tangled up and you're trying to pull this thing apart and you can't figure it out. And an hour later, you finally got the thing all pulled apart. That's where the Lord wants us with Him. That we are so ingrained in Him, so twisted together with Him, so at one with Him, that there's no pulling this apart. We have free will that never goes away. We can choose to remove ourselves from Him. We could start the unwinding process where we choose to. But take that rope again and start to unwind it. That thing's going to want to stay together. I mean, if you start pulling it apart and doing this, it's going to want to stay together. What I'm saying is, it's not that you can't be unwound. It's that you won't be unwound. I won't choose to be unwound. Think of Peter's words to Jesus. Jesus asked him, "Do you want to leave me too?" And what did Peter say? "Where would I go? What else is there? You have the words of life." Life stinks right now. It's hard. I don't know why I'm going through what I'm going through, but what other choice do I have? Where else would I go? I can deal with the hardships of life right now and have you and have every ounce of peace and rest that comes with you. Or I can step away from you, go through all the hardships of life, and not have that. Why would I choose such a thing? You're going to feel your weakest, yet take heart, because that is when you can be your strongest. Amen. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10 says, "And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" His strength is made perfect in our weaknesses. Consider that. What do we want to do when we have a weakness? Do we want to expose it, or do we want to hide it? We want to cover it. "I don't want you to know this weakness that I have. I don't want to share that with you. Are you joking? I don't want to expose myself that way. I don't want to tell you that I have a daily struggle with lust, and that the other day I looked at pornography." This is not a confession. This is what it was for me for so many years. I don't want to tell you that I had a fit of rage the other day because I didn't like what my wife said to me, so I put my fist through the wall. I don't want to tell you that I get so down and depressed with myself that I fall into a pit of despair and just want to give up. I don't want to share those things with you. I don't want to be vulnerable. Marie, like you said with the ladies, I don't want to do that. I don't want to put myself out there. But if I will share those things with you, the body, if I will confess that to you, if I will humble myself, what has God promised? He'll heal us and he will provide grace. He says, "I give grace to the humble." He resists the proud, but he gives more grace to the humble. So when we try to cover our weakness, so when we try to hide it, we're actually working against God. We are actually coming against the very thing that will give us the power to overcome. He says, "I resist the proud, but give more grace to the humble." Would you rather be in a position in all your hiding and covering to literally be resisted by the one who can give you the power to overcome that thing? Humble yourself before God. Humble yourself before your brothers and your sisters. Am I saying you got to get up here and confess everything in front of the whole church? Maybe. But I'm not saying everybody's got to do that. The Lord's got to direct you in that. But do you have anybody in this place, in this body, that you can talk to? Is there anybody who will listen to you? Is there a brother? Is there a sister? Husbands, will you confess to your wives? Wives, will you confess to your husbands? Parents, are you willing to say to your kids, "You know what? I acted wrong. I was wrong for yelling at you the way I did, or I acted wrong in front of you. That was sinful." And actually humble yourself to the point where you will confess that sin to your children and let them see a humble man or woman. Demonstrate true humility to them. To me, that is one of the greatest ways I've been able to teach my children, is to just humble myself and say, "Look, I was wrong. Here's why I was wrong. Will you forgive me?" Humble yourself. It's like in complete opposition to our flesh. It is the last thing we want to do, and yet the Lord promises, if you will do this, I can work with you. I can do something in you. How many are aware of the poem Footprints in the Sand? Very, very popular poem. I'm going to read that. I can remember this hanging on the wall of our house when I was a kid growing up. It goes like this. One night I dreamed a dream. As I was walking along the beach with my Lord, across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that at many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me, so I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you the most, you would leave me. He whispered, my precious child, I love you and will never leave you. Never, ever during your trials and testings. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. We need to be so utterly dependent on the Lord to know that He is the one who will carry us. And I would go beyond this poem and say, not just when you are at your lowest points and your weakest point. What did Paul say? In all things, I've learned to abound and be abased. Let Him carry you, not just through the hard times, but carry you always. We can get so full of ourselves and so comfortable when things are going good that we take our eyes, we take our focus off of Christ. Whether you're abounding or whether you're abased, be like Paul and learn to be content in Christ. Through Him you can do all things. There is many a rich man who is on his way to hell. There's many, many a preacher, person in ministry who's gotten so successful and so full of themselves, they don't even realize that they don't even have a connection with God anymore. So the question is, how do we bind ourselves to the Lord? What does this look like? I mean, that's really what we need, right? This is the practical piece of this. How do I do it? It sounds great. How do I do it? Sign me up. How do I do it? It goes back to the very beginning, the most basic of things. Yes, read your Bible. Pray. Fellowship. Discipleship. It is all these things. But understand, it is so much more. It's not just read your Bible. It's not just pray. Because we can do these things out of habit, out of discipline, and it can amount to very little. I'm not interested. If all there is to this is memorizing the words on this page, then I'm disappointed. I want more. I want more than that. I want more than just knowing all this stuff. I want to know the one who wrote this. I want to know the one who this is all about. When you read your Bible, read it with a prayerful heart, asking God, God, I want to know you. It's good to memorize Scripture. Do it. I do it. But do it with a heart to know the one who it's about, to be in intimate fellowship with Him. This knowing, this is not a thing of gaining knowledge of Scripture. This is about actually knowing God. And you try to describe it and you think, okay, that seems like, what are you saying there? It doesn't make sense. But when you look at this word knowing, when you look up the actual word and what is being said here, there is the mental piece of it to gain knowledge, but there is an intimate knowing of somebody. Think of a husband and a wife. They become intimate and they know one another. You can know a person until you start living with them, then you really know a person. My poor wife. But you like that, Jack? To know the Lord, we can have that type of relationship with Him, that type of intimacy. If all you're going to do is read this to gain knowledge, then you're just never going to know Him. But if you go with a prayerful heart, God, I don't understand, but I want to understand. I want to know You. Think of Adam in the garden. When God created, when this all started, go right back to the beginning. Strip it all down, strip it all away, take it right back to the beginning. When God created Adam, what did He do? He walked with him. We make it complicated, but what the Lord wants, He wants to walk with you. He wants to talk with you. Certainly, they didn't just walk and have a quiet walk. They were talking. They were communing. There was fellowship. Like when I go for a walk with my wife, we don't just walk quietly. Sometimes there's those moments. But there's a back and forth. There's a give and take. There's just a communication. I really can't even put it into words well enough for you. But if you've ever had an intimate relationship with somebody on this earth, whether it's a spouse or a very close friend, think of that and that relationship, that communication you have, where you really know somebody. The Lord wants that with you. What good is it to Him if all you know is a bunch of scripture, but you don't really know Him? How are you ever going to recognize His voice if all you can do is quote scripture? Now, I don't want to paint this light like you shouldn't study scripture, because that's part of how you get to know Him. I read my Bible every single day. I love to read the Word. And one of the wonderful things about it is when you are reading it to know Him, these words will begin to jump off the page. They'll grab you. There are times where I'm reading in the middle of a chapter and I stop. Wow, I never saw that before. It just jumps off the page. Or there's times where I'm like, Lord, I know there's something more here. I don't fully grasp it, but I know there's something here. Teach it to me. Speak it to me. Bring it to life for me. Ecclesiastes 7:12. Sorry, guys, I didn't give you that one. It tells us that the excellence of knowledge is that wisdom gives life to those who have it. Now, are you going to read this Bible to gain knowledge? Or do you want to gain life? Because it can be just knowledge. For many Christians, that is all it is just knowledge. But you can actually gain life from this word. The wisdom that he's talking about is Christ. Bind yourself to him. All wisdom comes from him. We're told that if you lack wisdom, ask. Ask the Father. He'll give you wisdom. Everything, every good thing is in him. And as long as we will bind ourselves to him, join ourselves to him, and know him, be known by him, all of it's available to us. Everything you know will suddenly come to life. As we do these things, as we read our word, as we pray, as we walk with God, one of the goals, I would say, probably the biggest goal, because everything will come out of this, is to obtain greater heights, greater depths in Christ. Know this. In this life, you will never, ever reach the summit of the depths and the heights of this word of Christ. You'll never reach the top. There's always more. There's always more to be gained. There's always more to grow. But to do this, we must be continually putting on Christ. Romans 13:11-14 says, "And do this knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed." If it was nearer then it's even more near now. "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Put on Christ. And this is not a one-time occurrence. This is not just, I do it once when I get saved and now I'm good. This is a continual growth. This is a continual act of putting on Christ. You get up every day and put on your clothes, so get up every day and put on Christ. Gain more of Christ. John, in John 3:30, he said, He must increase and I must decrease. Don't reverse it. Don't try to decrease and then have Him increase. Just go to Him. Go to the source, put on Christ. Bind yourself to Him. As you bind yourself to Him, He will increase. He will move. He will take over. Your job is to stay bound to Him and respond in obedience to Him. When He moves, move with Him. Stay with Him. He's going to increase. I promise you, if you will just seek Him, if you will stay bound to Him, if you will let Him increase, you will decrease. That flesh will be taken care of. And it's not because you didn't do anything. It's because you just stayed bound to Him. Think of the ocean. If you want to go deeper. You want to go for a swim, just throw on your swimsuit and take a jump in the water and go for a swim, right? But if you want to go a little deeper, a little something more is needed. You want to get the snorkel out, you can go a little deeper. Or maybe get the scuba tank out and go even deeper. Get into a submarine and go the deepest. The Mariana Trench is like the deepest point in whichever ocean. They have to have a specialized submarine to get to the bottom of that thing. The point is, more is needed. A more putting on. Not more of something I do, but more of Christ. Put on more. Grow more. Think of the armor of God. Every piece of the armor represents an aspect of Christ. Put it on. Put it on every day. Wear it. Grow in Christ. Astronauts. You want to go flying? You can hop in an open cockpit airplane and you can go pretty high. If you want to go higher, you're going to need something a little more substantial. If you want to get into space, you need to have a special suit. You need to have a special ship. But the higher you go, the more wondrous it becomes. The deeper in the ocean you go, the more amazing it becomes. You will see things you never thought existed. And it could be scary at times, but you're surrounded by that submarine and you're protected. It's the same with the Lord. He'll take you deeper. He'll take you higher. But if you're in Christ, if you're bound to Him, you got nothing to worry about. It was said this morning, if the Lord has a purpose for you and it's not your time to go, then you're not going anywhere. Till the Lord's done with you, you can be confident all the way up to that point, and then the best comes. You get to be with Him. As I finish this up, I want to encourage you. Look at the world around you. It's going mad. It's going crazy. We got an election coming up. I fully expect it to get really bad no matter who wins. People are going to go crazy. One way or the other, it's going to be bad. Now, you can be shaken by this. You can be overcome and overwhelmed with fear. Or you can trust the Lord. None of this will happen. None of it's going to be a surprise to Him. None of this is going to happen unless He allows it to happen. But where are you going to be in all this? Where is your rest going to be? Where is your peace going to come from? Donnie, you said it earlier. I liked what you said. It's not a peace that we can fabricate. It's got to be the peace of God. And it only comes in Christ. And binding ourselves to Him. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. It's not you anymore. I mean, yes, I'm here. I'm standing here. But it's not that old nature. Joe was talking about it in Sunday school this morning. It's no longer that old nature. I've been given a new nature. I've been given the life of Christ. I deal with the flesh. I contend with it. We all do. But there's a new nature we've been given. We can walk in that. We can be bold in that. We must draw near to Christ. Stop playing games. Stop. Don't be just content to just be a churchgoer. Don't be just content to be where you are now. Whatever level of depth you are now, great. But don't stop there. Continue on. Put on Christ. Bind yourself to Him. Determine, I'm going to walk with the Lord. I'm going to know the Lord. Jeremy, you can come up. I'm going to read Isaiah 40 again. And as I read it, do you read it with me? Not out loud, but as you look at these words. Now instead of looking at this in terms of time and getting what you want and having your prayer answered, think of it in terms of, Lord, I just want to bind myself to You. And as Jeremy's playing, I want to open up the altars. This is always the awkward part of the sermon for me. But I want to encourage you. Determine in your heart, your mind, Lord, I want to know You. I want to be near You. You know, there's so many promises in Scripture. The Lord promises that if we'll draw near to Him, He'll draw near to you. That's not an empty promise. Those aren't empty words. Be diligent. Keep going back to Him. Keep going to the source. There are going to be times where He's quiet. There's going to be times where you feel like, where are You, God? But I promise you, He's there. I promise you, He wants to speak to you. I promise you, He wants to lead you. He wants to give you everything you need. He just wants you to come to Him. Depend on Him. Isaiah 40 again, verse 28 through 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth? He neither faints nor is weary. Look at that. He's never going to fail. He's never going to falter. He's never going to be weak. He never faints and He never gets weary. He never gets tired. His understanding is unsearchable. All wisdom, every bit of knowledge you'll ever need, it's in Him. He gives power to the weak. Any bit of strength you need, again, He's got it all. And to those who have no might, He increases strength. And look at this. It says, even the youth shall faint and be weary. The ones who should be the strongest, they're going to falter. They're going to fail. The ones we look to who think they got it all together, they got it figured out. Guess what? If they're not bound to Christ, they're going to fail. They're going to fail you. They're going to fail those around them. They're going to fail the Lord because they're not depending upon Him. And the young men shall utterly fall. But here it is. Those who wait on the Lord, those who bind themselves to the Lord, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I would encourage you, come up to this altar, sit in your chair, whatever, but just make that your desire, your heart's cry. Lord, I want to bind myself to You. You might be going through something really difficult in your life. You might be struggling worse than you ever have. You're going through that twisting that I talked about. Lord, when is this going to end? Believe me, I know. When is this going to end? When are You going to do what You've set out to do? When are You going to finish this thing? But no, it's for You. It's because He loves you. It's because He is such a good Father. That twisting, the stretching, every bit of pain, every bit of struggle, it's for you. God said to Jeremiah, Jeremiah 29, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. I got a plan for you. It's one of peace, not evil. Maybe not peace in circumstances around you, but certainly peace in your heart. Peace in the inward man. Surrender yourselves to the Lord this morning. Look to Him. Bind yourself to Him. Draw near to Him and He will draw near to you. Let Him increase and you will decrease. Seek Him this morning. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Oh, Lord God, have your way in us, Lord. God, we come to you. Oh, Lord, we surrender ourselves to you, Lord. We surrender our lives, our every thought and desire, Lord, every intent of our hearts, Lord, we surrender it to you, God. God, as we learn to wait upon you, Lord, teach us. God, teach us what this is, Lord. Teach us to bind ourselves to you, Lord, to draw near to you, God, to know you. All these different ways of saying it, Lord, all these images you give us, Lord, teach us how to do this, Lord. God, we bind ourselves to you this morning. God, we want to be emptied of ourselves, of our own strength, our own wisdom, our own knowledge, our own fleshly abilities, Lord. We just empty ourselves, Lord. We ask you to empty ourselves, Lord. That we depend on nothing, nothing but Christ alone. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are a good Father. We love you, Father.